Hello, my name is Bailey Stevens, if you don't know me. I worship in the Nashville congregation of Brookside. And we're going to look at the things we've been looking at all this meeting and throughout this service in Ephesians chapter 4. Paul is urging in this chapter the church of Ephesus to put off the old self in verse 22 and be renewed to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in verses 23 through 24. A Christian must be completely transformed into a new man, separate and opposite from the old and sinful person that they were before. In verse 29 of Ephesians 4, Paul specifically talks about corrupt speech, and that's what I'm going to be talking to you about this afternoon. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29 in the New King James Version first. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And now let's read it in the English Standard Version. I kind of like that version a little bit better. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. The Greek word for corrupt that Paul uses means bad, rotten, or putrid. Now we can combine that with the modern sense of the word corrupt that we know, which is depraved, evil, and contaminated. And we can say that corrupt talk is the talk that is obscene, offensive, and corrupts others. Most people in the world engage in this perverse language, but it's also prevalent in the followers of God. Christians today need the wise words of the Apostle Paul just as much as Christians in his days needed them. But what kind of language is corrupt? How do we know we're talking in an ungodly manner? Well, there are several ways a person can speak corruptly, and many Christians have fallen to at least one of these pitfalls of controlling the tongue, and we're going to briefly look at just a few to begin. Number one, taking oaths is one. This is the same as swearing, whether in the Lord's name or on your mother's grave or whatever. James gives wisdom on how a Christian should act regarding these things in James chapter 5 and verse 12. But above all, my brethren, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. Here, James advises Christians to, above all, which is to say, especially, avoid swearing at all. But the second one is the irreverent use of the Lord's name. God's name is a beautiful thing, representing a being so powerful and so pure that we can't even really fathom it at all. But today, it's used as some sort of flippant slang or curse word. So treating the name of God with irreverence can be done by outright saying his name in a way that doesn't praise or honor him in some way, maybe when we're surprised or when we're angry. These situations have very little to do with the Lord, and when we say his name in an emotional outburst, we're referencing the creator of all things in an empty and careless way. Look at Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. People that are more careful often justify saying his name in an irreverent way by saying, well, I never actually said his name. This is called a euphemism. And this is just as sinful as saying his name with no reverence at all. Euphemisms were created so people could dishonor God and not really feel so bad about it. But moving on, number three, profanity. It's relatively easy for Christians to identify and avoid these more blatant profanities or dirty words, as some call them. However, some Christians can still struggle with saying these words habitually or unconsciously. Number four, dirty jokes. This is perhaps the most difficult corrupt language to recognize, as it's hidden in the form of a funny joke or a story. But this kind of language is obscene, is completely the opposite of how Christians should speak today. Look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 4. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. Number 5, complaining and griping. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. There are some people that complain about everything. I sometimes have a problem with complaining. It makes me feel better. But Paul advised the Philippian Christians to not complain about things. Complaints are ultimately directed at God, whether knowingly or unknowingly, because he is the one who ordains all the circumstances in our lives. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says this, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And the last one we're going to look at today is destructive criticism or angry words. Take a careful look at your speech. If your words are hurting others, causing discourse, or are controlled by anger, then this is corrupt talk. A kind and calm word is much more effective than any rash and angry one. Look at Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 18. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Now, we've all heard a lesson on one or more of these things at some point or another, and all these lessons we're told, well, just don't say these things. But instead of me saying that today and getting off the stage, we're going to swim upstream and look at the root of the problem. What is causing us to say these things? Let's look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 to give us some insight on this answer. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. In order to change our actions and behavior, we have to change our thoughts. Oftentimes you'll find it easy to do God's will if you're constantly thinking about it, praying about it, and reading about it. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 through 9. We all know this one. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Surround your thoughts with the word, and your actions will follow. But this can go the other way as well. If we surround ourselves with the world constantly, then it's only human nature for the mind to be constantly thinking of worldly things. You are a spiritual sponge, and whatever you absorb, whatever you surround yourself with is what you'll absorb. Being immersed in ungodly people or profane songs or inappropriate movies wears down on the mind. Think about when you spend a week with friends of the world. Sometimes you can slip back into sin and not even realize it in the moment. Now think of when you're at a church meeting, surrounded by the Lord's Word and the Lord's people. Have you noticed how easy it is to resist worldly temptations when you're there? It's because you're constantly feeding your mind spiritual food, which converts to spiritual thoughts, which converts to spiritual actions. Now, there are plenty of ways to feed our minds spiritually today, and it works very similarly to a diet. In order to improve the health of the body, you replace the unhealthy with the healthy. Start by cutting out everything that causes you to violate Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. That can be songs, movies, locations, and even people. These things are like sugar to a diet. You can't get spiritually healthy if all you consume is worldly things. Replace this sugar with things above, like in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. In this day and age, it's really, really easy to find and consume godly media. There are podcasts, songs, websites with more sermons than you can think of. I mean, there's Let the Bible Speak, Pure and Simple Bible, Christian Landmark, and that's just three. There are many. There is a bottomless well of biblical knowledge just waiting to be discovered out on the internet. And even if you didn't use the internet as a resource, just reading the Bible regularly, very regularly, can do wonders for the soul. Now quickly, in conclusion here, Paul informed us in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29 that corrupt talk has no place in a Christian's life. Corrupt talk can include dirty words and jokes, destructive criticism, angry words, complaining, swearing, saying the Lord's name in an irreverent manner, and much more that I didn't even get to cover. To scrub our lives clean of this sinful way of speaking, we have to replace all the worldly influences in our lives with spiritual food for our minds. Doing so will not only aid you in having a cleaner and more positive manner of speaking, but will also naturally get you closer to God. Just as you can often tell where someone is from by listening to their accent, so people should be able to tell that you're a Christian by your transformed talk. Thank you.